Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O learned Brahmana, the transcendental activities of the Lord are all wonderful and they appear inconceivable, because even great endeavors by many learned scholars have still proved insufficient for understanding them. Purport: the act of the Supreme Lord in the creation of just this one universe appears inconceivably wonderful. And there are innumerable universes, and all of them aggregated together are known as the created material world. And this part of his creation is only a fractional proportion of the complete creation. The material world stands as a part only, ekam sena stito jagat. Supposing that the material world is a display of one part of his energy, the remaining three parts consists of the Vaikuntha jagat, or spiritual world, described in the Bhagavad Gita as Madh Dhamma or Sanatan Dhamma, or the eternal world. We have marked in the previous verse that he creates and again winds up the creation. This action is applicable only in the material world, because the other greater part of his creation, namely the Vaikuntha world, is neither created nor annihilated. Otherwise, the Vaikuntha Dham would not have been called eternal. The Lord exists with Dhamma. His eternal name, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all displayed of his great and different energies and expansions. The Lord is called Anadi, or having no creator, and Adi, or the origin of all. We think in our own imperfect way that the Lord is also created, but the Vedanta informs us that he is not created. Rather, everything else is created by him. Narayana paro vyaktat. Therefore, for the common man, these are all very wonderful matters for consideration. Even for great scholars, they are inconceivable, and thus such scholars present theories contradictory to one another. Even for the insignificant part of his creation, this particular universe, they have no complete information as to how far this limited space extends, or how many stars and planets are there, or the different conditions of those innumerable planets. Modern scientists have insufficient knowledge of all this. Some of them assert that there are 100 million planets scattered all over the space. In the news release from Moscow dated 2/21/60, the following piece of knowledge was relayed. Russia's well-known professor of astronomy, Boris Vorontsov-Valemino, said that there must be an infinite number of planets in the universe inhabited by beings endowed with reason. It could be that life similar to that on Earth flourishes on such planets. Doctor of Chemistry Nikolai Zero covered the problem of atmosphere of other planets, pointed out the organism of a Martian, for instance, could very well adapt itself to normal existence with a low body temperature. He said that he felt that the gaseous composition of Martian atmosphere was quite suitable to sustain life of beings which have become adapted to it. This adaptability of an organism is different varieties of planets is described in the Brahma Samhita as Vibhuti Binana. Each and every one of the innumerable planets within the universe is endowed with a particular type of atmosphere, and the living beings are more perfectly advanced in science and psychology. Because of a better atmosphere, Vibhuti means specific powers and Binana means variegated. Scientists who are attempting to explore outer space and are trying to reach other planets by mechanical arrangements must know for certain that organisms adapted to the atmosphere of the Earth cannot exist in the atmospheres of other planets from easy journey to other planets. One has to prepare himself, therefore, to be transferred to a different planet after being relieved of the present body. As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti deva vrata devam pitrim yanti prite vrataha bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti madhyajno pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods, and those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me. Maharaj Parikshit's statement regarding the workings of the creative energy of the Lord discloses that he knew exactly everything of the process of creation. Why then did he ask Sukhdev Goswami for such information? Maharaj Parikshit, being a great emperor, a descendant of the Pandavas, and a great devotee of Lord Krishna, was quite able to know considerably about the creation of the world, but that much knowledge was not sufficient. He said, therefore, that even greatly learned scholars fail to know about that, even after great effort. The Lord is unlimited, and his activities are also unfathomed. With a limited source of knowledge and imperfect senses, any living being up to the standard of Brahmaji, the highest perfect living being within the universe, can never imagine knowing about the unlimited. We can know something of the unlimited when it is explained by the unlimited, as has been done by the Lord himself in the unique statements of the Bhagavad Gita. And it can also be known to some extent from realized souls like Sukadev Goswami, who learnt it from Vyasadev, a disciple of Narada. And thus the perfect knowledge can descend by the chain of disciplic succession only, and not by any other form of experimental knowledge, old or modern. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadbhutam Sadbhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, everyone. Thank you for having me once again so that we can discuss some things and I can learn from all of you. So we had a really long purport by Srila Prabhupada. So there is so much to say about this verse. It's a wonderful verse and there are so many things that we can talk about, but you know, we don't have that much time, so let's see what we can discuss today. So it says that the transcendental activities of the Lord are all wonderful and they appear inconceivable. So let's just look at that part first. So can anyone tell me about any of the wonderful activities of Krishna? I mean, we don't have time to discuss the activities of Krishna, but can anyone just say any activities that are really wonderful? Yes, so a little boy like him lifted Govardhan Hill on his little finger. Yes, what a wonderful activity. And it's inconceivable, isn't it? Like, how can we believe that a little boy like that, you know? At my school, you know, sometimes I ask the children, you know, can anyone do that? And there's always one who pipes up, yeah, I can do it. And I'm like, try, you can't even hold up a book on your little finger, you know, like. But yeah, so it's so inconceivable that a little boy like that could do that. Any other activities of Krishna, Mataji? Killing of Putana, yes, absolutely. Krishna was just a tiny little baby. You know, with a tiny little face, little mouth, little fingers, and he managed to kill, you know, Putana. And he managed to kill so many demons in Vrindavan. Like, the demons just kept coming and he kept killing them. Any others? Prabhuji?
The creation.
The, through his expansions. Yes. Absolutely, and we'll come to that in a minute, Prabhuji. Yes, definitely. And then there are so many, you know, like a little boy like Krishna, you know, standing on the hoods of Kaliya and dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. And, you know, we can go on and on. You know, when Krishna and Balaram, they were little, they would hold on to the tails of the cows and, you know, the cows would be running and dragging them along and they would be rolling in the mud and, you know, cow dung and everything. And you think, this is the personality of Godhead doing all this. So all these activities, you know, I mean, where do we stop? You know, wonderful activities of the Lord. But they are also inconceivable. So, you know, like we just said, how can we think of Krishna, a little boy, doing all this? You know, he was a little boy sleeping under the cart. You know, the demon had taken the form of a cart. And with his little finger, he, you know, kicked it over. So, you know, they're really, really inconceivable. And, you know, the inconceivable incarnations. You know, how wonderful is it that the Lord can incarnate as a fish, as a boar, as a half lion, half human? You know, when we talk about this to others, you know, they're like, what? You know, that is your God? You know, a tortoise, a boar. And then, you know, in this canto, it's about creation. And, you know, like Prabhuji said, that from the Lord's body, all these bubbles coming out, all these universes, you know, floating around. You know, can we imagine how are they all floating around? And there's no traffic jam up there, or, you know, there's no accidents happening. They're perfectly, you know, moving around. So, you know, how is it all happening? And, you know, from a tiny little seed, you know, a huge tree grows. So these are all wonderful activities, you know, of the Lord, and they are just inconceivable. You know, how can we understand this? I would like to share a story, if I may, about Narad Muni. So one day, Narad Muni went to a village. And when he went to the village, he met this brahmana, he met this priest, who was busy worshipping the deities and doing all the rituals. And he saw Narad Muni and he said, "Oh, Narad Muni, welcome, welcome. You know, where are you going on your travels next? I'm sure you'll be going to Vaikuntha to see Lord Narayan." And Narad Muni said, "Yes, definitely, I will be going." So he said, "When you go there, please, could you ask the Lord, when will I see him?" And Narad Muni, being the kind-hearted personality, he said, "Of course, I will go and do that. You know, I will ask him." And then off he went on his way, chanting Narayan, Narayan. And then he met a little cobbler. He was under a tree, you know, getting on with his job, mending shoes and making shoes. So again, the cobbler greeted him really nicely and said, "Oh, please come, have a seat." And they talked a little bit. And then he said that, "Where are you off to? I'm sure you'll be going to the Vaikuntha planets to see the Lord." And Narad Muni said, "Yes, I will be going there." And the cobbler said that, "Oh, you know, could you ask the Lord, when might I be able to see him? You know, when will I ever be able to see him?" So Narad Muni, again, very kind-hearted, he said, "Of course, I'll take that message to Lord Narayan." So Narad Muni continued on his journey, and he finally arrived in Vaikuntha. And he spent some time with the Lord, and, you know, as he was leaving, he remembered that the Brahmana and the cobbler had asked him to ask Lord Narayan something. So he said that, "I met this Brahmana and he asked, when is he going to see you?" And Lord Narayan said that, "Not in millions and millions of years. He'll have to wait that many years." So Narad Muni was taken back. Wow, you know, this Brahmana, he's worshipping the deities every day. He's doing all these rituals. He's so committed. And how comes it's going to take millions of years? But he didn't say anything. And then he said, "There is a cobbler as well, and he's really anxious to see you as well, my Lord." And Lord Narayan said, "Of course, I'll see him after, you know, this life when he dies. You know, I will see him." So Narad Muni was again a little bit taken back. Why two different answers, you know, the Lord has given? And he said that, "But, you know, when I go, the Brahmana is not going to believe me, and maybe the cobbler might not believe me. So, you know, how can I prove that I have met you and you have said this?" So then Lord Narayan said that, when they ask you if you've seen me and what activities I was doing, tell them that I was threading an elephant from a hole of a needle." So Narad Muni is a great devotee, so he thought, "Yeah, of course you can do that." And he went back. So as he went back, he met the Brahmana again, and the Brahmana was really anxious, and he said, "Oh, did you give my message to Lord Narayan?" And he said, "Yes, yes." And he said, "What did he say?" And he said that, "Oh, you will not be able to see him for millions of years." And the Brahmana got really annoyed, and he said, "What do you mean? You know, I am doing all this puja every day. I am so committed. I am so devoted. You know, I do it all on time and I do all this. So how can he say that? Are you sure you even saw the Lord? You know, I don't believe you saw the Lord." And he said that, "If you saw the Lord, tell me what he was doing." So Narad Muni said that he was threading an elephant through the hole of a needle. And the Brahmana said, "Of course you haven't seen Lord Narayan. How can he be doing such a thing? So you are just lying. I don't even want to speak to you." So Narad Muni said, "No problem, Narayan, Narayan," and he carried on. So then he met the cobbler. And the cobbler didn't even remember. You know, he was so, you know, he was constantly meditating on the Lord. He didn't even ask him that, "Did you ask my question?" And he said, "Oh, wow. Did you see the Lord?" And he said, "Yes, I did see the Lord." And he said, "What was my Lord doing?" So then Narad Muni said, "He was threading an elephant through the hole of a needle." And he said, "Wow, that is just so amazing. My Lord is so wonderful, you know. The activities he does are so wonderful and inconceivable." So a question that I would like to ask you all: why did Lord Narayan, first of all, give two different answers to the two different devotees. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, absolutely. So it was about faith, wasn't it? That the Brahmana was doing everything, but he was doing it for his own selfish purposes, or, you know, maybe to show that I am a Brahmana, I am a priest, look at what I'm doing. And the cobbler just had so much faith in Krishna. Yes, yes, Prabhuji.
Oh, sorry, no, I was going to also say to also prove point that, you know, in bhakti, it's not about your background and learning, and also that it's our tenacity and determination to practice for the long haul, which is why Sri Dharma Prabhu used to say that don't be a shooting star, be a lasting moon.
Very nice, very nice. Thank you, Prabhuji, for sharing that. Yes, so we can see here that the cobbler, you know, he was making shoes, and, you know, there's leather to be used in shoes. And so, you know, it's not very clean activity to do. But yet, you know, he was totally meditating on the Lord. And he had so much faith in the Lord. So, you know, he could see, you know, he could see that the wonderful activities of the Lord, you know, and we believe that it's true, you know, because we have faith that, you know, it's true. Otherwise, we find it unconceivable as well. So, you know, like in the Bhagavad Gita 8.9, there is a description of the Lord. So, I'll just read the translation. So, one should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that he can enter into the atom and into the heart of the smallest and control him as a supersoul. So can you imagine the Lord? You know, he can turn into the smallest and, you know, enter into everything. You know, even in every atom, you know, he can enter into. And he's, you know, maintaining everything. And by him, the planetary systems are working, like we said, and they are sustained and everything is maintained, you know, by the Lord. So, you know, and also then the other point that Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport is that many learned scholars have tried to understand about the Lord and his activities. And, you know, this chapter is about creation and, you know, how the Lord created this universe. And, you know, scientists are trying. You know, there is a story about Srila Prabhupada, you know, when the first person, and you know, landed on moon. Srila Prabhupada said, no, you know, that's not possible. We see that scientists, you know, their theories change, you know, because it's based on, you know, the investigation or whatever they do, and then there's a theory, and until that theory is proved wrong, we go with their theory. Like, you know, we thought that the world was flat, you know, and then a new theory came, and then they believed in that. So, you know, it's ever-changing, whereas the knowledge that we get from our scriptures never changes, like the Lord, you know, it never changes. So, you know, people are still trying to understand, you know, just about the universe, not even trying to understand the Lord, just his creation. And, you know, they can't get their head around that. And, you know, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada actually talks about the scientist who was saying that there must be an infinite number of planets and all these. And, you know, for devotees, this information is already given in our Vedas. You know, we have all this information of how the planetary system works. Yesterday we heard a little bit from the class. And there is so much to talk just about the creation. Shishi Radha Gokulanand ki jay, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jay, Shishi Gauranitai ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay. So, you know, all of that is given, and Srila Prabhupada makes a really important point here that all this knowledge can only come through disciplic succession. So in the Bhagavad Gita 4.2, you know, evam parampara praptam, imam rajasyo vidu sa kyalena mata yoga nashtaha parantapa. So again, I'll read the translation. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it appears to be lost. So, you know, the Gita is saying that this knowledge was for the saintly kings. And, you know, because they had to execute, you know, the purpose of ruling the citizens and, you know, the countries. But, you know, the Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons because they have no value for this knowledge. And, you know, in time, you know, it gets changed or, you know, there's a lot of speculation that happens. So, you know, it shouldn't be like that. You know, we should just follow what it says in the scriptures. And, you know, we know that it is the truth. And also, you know, this knowledge, we see that in time, it gets lost, all this knowledge. So again, in chapter 4 of the Bhagavad Gita, we learn about the transcendental knowledge. And text 34, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasyana sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam Gyaninas Tattva Darshina. So again, here we see that, you know, this knowledge was lost. And, you know, so we should learn through the spiritual master because they know, you know, the knowledge. And we should inquire submissively and render service. And the self-realized soul can impart knowledge onto you because he has seen the truth. However, in today's verse, Srila Prabhupada also says that, you know, even then we can't understand it fully because no one can understand the Lord fully. And, you know, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lord Brahma, you know, the Lord himself imparted knowledge onto Lord Brahma, but he got bewildered as well. So when he saw Krishna in Vrindavan, he was playing with the cowherd boys and all his activities, he got bewildered and he thought, what, can this one little boy be the Lord? How can he be the Lord? And he decided to test him. You know, he stole all the cowherd boys and all the cows. But Krishna then manifested in all these cows and cowherd boys to show that, yes, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there are other stories as well, which we don't really have time to go into, but we saw how Lord Indra was bewildered as well. And, you know, he forgot that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we saw the Govardhan Hill Leela there. So, you know, we can't actually fully understand the Lord, you know, even if we are learning from somebody who has this knowledge. Because Srila Prabhupada says here that our senses and, you know, they are not pure. You know, our senses, you know, we have faults in our senses, so we can't understand. So time is running along and there is so much to say about this verse. But I would like to sort of go into another story. So I would like to share another story. So this is a story about a king. I think he lived in China. And this king was getting old and wanted his son to take over the reign. So then he was thinking that how can I make sure that my son is a good leader? You know, he's got all these skills. So he decided to send his son into the forest to learn from a guru. So this son, the prince, he went and he met this guru in a temple. And he said that my father has sent me here to learn how to be a good leader. So this guru said, yes, no problem. You have a rest tonight and then tomorrow I will speak to you. And then the next day morning, he speaks to him and he says, okay, I would like you to go to the forest. And I would like you to live in the forest for a year. And I would like you to then come back and tell me what you could hear in this forest. So the prince said, fine, no problem. And he went and he sat in the middle of the forest and he was meditating. So he listened and listened for a year, like his guru had told him. And then after a year, he came back and his teacher said, okay, so tell me, what did you hear in the forest? So he said that I heard the hummingbird hum. Then I heard the bees buzzing. I heard the wind blowing through the trees. And he carried on and on. He described whatever he had heard in the forest, all the noises he had heard. So his teacher wasn't happy with this answer. So he said that, no, I would like you to go back to the forest. And this time I would like you to be very, very attentive. And the prince was thinking, but I was listening. I heard all these sounds. But he said, okay, my teacher's telling me, so I will go. So this time he said that hear the unheard. So the prince thought, okay, let me go and try. So he went again and he was meditating and he was really focusing and he was thinking, hear the unheard. So he really, really, really focused. And for months he could only hear the same sounds he had heard. And he thought that, well, I can't go back and say the same thing again. So, you know, he increased his meditation. And then one day he had an amazing realization. He heard the unheard. So he was amazed that this was what my teacher was asking me to hear. So then he went back to his teacher and he said that, yes, I have heard something different this time. And the teacher said, okay, share with me what you heard this time. So he said, I heard the sound of the sun, the morning sun warming the earth. Then I heard the dew falling from the grass. Then I heard the flower opening up. I heard the worms moving underneath the ground. And the teacher was very, very happy with him. He said that, yes, you are now qualified to be a leader. So yes, you go back to your father and I am quite happy that you will be a good leader. Because you need to be able to listen to other people's hearts. Citizens don't always express their feelings. So a leader must hear what's in their hearts to keep them happy. So in the same way, Krishna is achintya. He is unconceivable. So with our blunt senses, we can't try and understand Krishna. So how can we hear the unheard? It's through our sadhana. You know, Srila Prabhupada has given us the perfect formula, Krishna consciousness. So, you know, we can hear the unheard. We can see the unseen. We can taste the untasted. So, we don't have time to go into all of these, but let's take one. So how can we hear the unheard? Anyone have an idea? How could we hear the unheard? Yes, Niskanchan Prabhu?
Is it like being more sensitive? Like to figure out what a person's thinking, even if they say something different.
Yes. So being more sensitive, and it's deeper understanding, isn't it? So, you know, we've been given, a perfect sadhana by chanting. Yeah, so when we chant, we need to hear. We need to hear about Krishna, because Krishna is in his name. So we need to hear, and we need to focus on that. So we are hearing the unheard. We are hearing the name of Krishna. And when we actually really try and listen to Krishna, we hear what we are chanting and listen, Krishna from within will reveal the information, the knowledge that we need to get. And then we will understand. So that is the process to understand. When we come and try and see Krishna, we come in front of Krishna and we want to try and see Krishna. Yes, that's brilliant, because we need to take darshan of Krishna. But actually, Srila Prabhupada always said that, behave in a way that Krishna wants to see you. Yeah, so we are seeing the unseen. So Krishna, when he is happy with you, he will again reveal the knowledge to you. And we can look at all the sadhana that we have, and we can look at it in this way, that we can hear the unseen, we can hear the unheard, the unseen we can hear. So in that way, so you know, that makes it perfect. So I'm going to stop here. Unfortunately, I had lots more to say, because it was such a brilliant purport, but we'll leave time for everyone to say something as well. So, yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so that was you wanted to know, Niskinchana answered. You asked, how can you hear the unheard?
Unheard, right? Yes.
So I think a good point to consider is that the power of stillness, the holy presence, and the now as well.
Mm.
So when you come into that space,
yes,
and this is a form of consciousness, so therefore you go beyond the mind, meaning you're not thinking. You're not thinking, you're not contemplating, you're not judging, you just remain still.
Mm.
And by remaining still, all that is pertinent and what is relevant, and that should be revealed, and that's knowable, then might should arise in the heart. You can actually feel it. It comes. It takes practice.
Mm.
But in the presence, in stillness, these things are possible.
Wonderful.
So that is just to go beyond the mind. And how do we get beyond the mind? Is to remain in presence, stillness.
Mm.
The animals are very good at this. And that's why they hear so well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't think. Sorry, I mean, you know, but we have a mind, and our mind is sort of it takes us away from the now.
Now,
which
yes.
is this is where the essential important things are revealed in the now.
Mm. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Yes, and our mind is so loud, isn't it? When we are trying to chant, we want to hear Krishna's name, but we are hearing our mind, because our mind is so loud. And, you know, well, mine is, I try really hard and all I can hear is my thoughts running around. So thank you so much. Anyone else would like to share anything, Prabhuji?
Sarvapati Vinaya Muktam, we need to purify our senses. Purify your senses, you're not going to hear anything except what's going on in your mind. And so we engage our senses in Krishna's service.
Hmm. Yes. Yes, that's a really good point, Prabhuji. Because, you know, when we start chanting, we start by looking at a picture of Krishna or something, and then we try and focus more and more on what we are saying and focusing. So
purifying.
We are using our senses, yes, and purifying them. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Matajis, would you like to share anything? No? Oh, Prabhuji?
I have a question for you.
I'll try and answer, but might have
question.
To ask.
You mentioned at the beginning wonderful activities of Krishna. I was just asking, how do you believe in all this? what it takes. Like, I mean, we just believe. But for example, you mentioned scientists. They have theories which kind of, you can say, a form of belief. But at least there is a possibility in their theories that it may be true. But when we talk about Krishna, I mean, there's no way you can prove. Even Lord Brahma, let's say Lord Brahma had the ability to test Krishna. We don't have, we're just helpless. Just be an innocent child.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a very good point. Back, yes.
How you believe.
Believe, yes. I think it's like we saw in the story, it's about faith. We have to develop faith. And by all these activities, the Lord reveals in our heart, but it's all about faith. You know, like when we start off in Krishna consciousness, I mean, I see this every day at my school, that, you know, a new person comes in and they see us and they think that, why are they waving a lamp, you know, water, you know, why are they waving it, you know, around the deities? And they see the children are, you know, singing Hare Krishna, they're jumping and dancing, and you just look at their faces and they're like, what is going on here? But then, you know, slowly, you know, we develop our faith. And now, like, you know, I wouldn't say I'm at that level like the cobbler where I could believe everything. I still question, you know. But slowly, our faith grows. And the other point that I made was that, yes, the scientist theory could be correct, but it changes. You know, they change their mind. You know, first the earth was flat, then they're like, no, the earth is not flat. So, you know, they change. Whereas knowledge about Krishna, what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it doesn't change. And, you know, we go through the disciplic succession. So, you know, we are just repeating what our parampara has taught us. So it doesn't change on a daily basis. So that's my answer. But anyone else would like to? Yes, Prabhuji. Just wait for the mic.
One of the statements Prabhupada used to use, that actually he says, try it. See the change in yourself. Mm. But not only that, it's like when people come here on this monk for a week, we see amazing transformation. Transformations in that somehow they experience the character of the living force, which is, Prabhupada tells us, is to serve, to give. That is the source of happiness. And whereas in the material point of view, it means it's to do with a body which is never satisfied. So we become frustrated. And so it says we are looking for something, but our expectations, they're not met. So they say expectation is the mother of disappointment. So material life means disappointment, but spiritual life means you find out that actually service brings more happiness than taking, than trying to supply the body, than that it's just a point of frustration. And that divine and demoniac natures chapter tells us about, they're never satisfied, they're never happy, they're constantly looking. Whereas in serving, you see, happiness lies actually in giving. And he says, try it, and people experience happiness, real happiness. And you can see how everybody's changed here.
Yes.
And you look at yourself. You compare how you were and what you feel now. So you can see the change.
Definitely.
Just in a short time, like monk for a week. Amazing.
Thank you. So the proof is in the pudding. Yes, Prabhuji.
Can you take a big one?
I don't mind.
He said, how do you know and what proof? So here's one for the scientists. So it's mentioned in the Gita, it's mentioned the knowledge 5,000 years ago, cow dung is pure. Okay? And now 5,000 years later, it's been discovered that it contains all sorts of antiseptic properties. So that's one for the scientists. They can't deny that. Because they actually discovered this themselves.
Yes.
And so it was said, 5,000 years ago, it's still there, it hasn't changed, that knowledge. So.
And all the knowledge is in our Vedas, isn't it? So, yeah, and they're finding it out
so
now.
That's one practical thing, that one practical example we can give.
Thank you so much. So thank you, everyone, for your patience. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.